This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. This morning, we're going to talk about a number of topics, from taxes to tariffs and federal funding, and all of these things that are going on in our world financially at this point in time. Our state controller is here with us. He is Sean Scanlon. Good morning, Sean. Thanks for coming on the show.
Good morning, and good to be here.
Just give me an idea on everything that's on your mind at this point in time. Just starting off with a summary, if you will. There's been so much news, particularly out of Washington, but with an impact on Connecticut as far as funding is going, as far as taxes. You guys are working on a state budget, and lawmakers are as well. So just give me an overview of everything that's going on at the moment, because to some, I know it's a little chaotic.
Well, we could probably be here for the next 5 days, which I know we don't have time to, but just to level set, you know, for your listeners, as the state comptroller, I'm really the chief financial officer of the state. And it's my job to look at both what we're doing here in Connecticut and to keep the books and to pay the checks and to do all the, you know, benefit designs and pension administration of the state, but it's also to look at what is happening from an economic standpoint. And sometimes that means what's happening in the business world, and sometimes, to your point, that means what's happening in Washington. And there has been a lot going on in the last couple days and weeks, and there will be a lot going on for the next coming days, weeks, and months. And it's my job to try to make sense of it and to then figure out what, if anything, we need to do to respond to that. And that keeps me busy and the 250 people that work in our agency busy. But I love this job. I love the ability to do it. And it's a heck of a time to be the comptroller of the state.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, let's start with this. And I know that our conversation this morning over the next half hour here will really kind of go all over the place. But let's just start with what impacts people at the moment. It is the tax season. I know that that's something that the state has been starting to talk about more and more as people prepare to file their taxes. So what should people know this year, 2025, at the start of the tax season?
Well, one thing that they should know is that we help people through United Way prepare their taxes. And so if you're out there and you're interested in seeing if you qualify for this, there's something called the VITA program, and United Way runs it, where people can go in and save about $200 by having these VITA tax filers work with them to file their taxes. And so if you are interested in learning whether or not you're eligible for that, you can go to 211ct.org/taxhelp, or you can just call 211 and then press 3 and then 6, and somebody can walk you through whether or not you're eligible for that tax prep or not. But for most of us who are getting ready to either hop on TurboTax or call our accountant, I always just remind people to make sure that you're taking advantage of any and all of the credits that you might be entitled to. Typically, your accountant is helping you with that, or these websites like TurboTax are doing the same. But as the guy who always is trying to be thrifty and get the best deal, don't pay more taxes than you have to. Just don't tell the governor I told you that.
Yeah, you don't want to spread that around too much. But, you know, there are a lot of credits out there. I don't know if you could just run down a list, just kind of highlight some of them just so that people are aware. And I'm sure that accountants will help them with that. But I think that awareness is also important and what they mean. So could you go over any of those?
Well, you know, the one that I think is really important for folks is called the Earned Income Tax Credit. And this is something that actually started under President Reagan in the 80s. And Connecticut has expanded it. And the goal of this program is really to help really low-income people who may be sort of coming off of getting some sort of public assistance or are trying to kind of get back in the workforce. This incentivizes them to stay in the workforce by helping them with this earned income tax credit. And we have expanded it over the course of the last few years. It's actually the highest that it's ever been in the state of Connecticut. And I really encourage folks to check out whether or not that they are eligible for that tax credit because it really can help you out, especially to low and middle income workers. Another one in Connecticut that is pretty popular and that has been expanded in recent years is the property tax credit. The property tax for most of us is the single most expensive tax that we pay on an annual basis. It's actually not set by Hartford. It's set by your local city or town and determined by something called a mill rate. But for many of us, this is a big tax, and it's a tax that gets worse and worse. And in my estimation, it's a tax that we really need to figure out how to make it more affordable, but that's a whole different show. But for those of us who are getting those property tax increases and bills, we have boosted the state property tax credit here in Connecticut and would again encourage folks to check into that and see if that's something that they're eligible here in our state.
Before we shift over to some of the other topics that are of financial interest to our Connecticut listeners, and again, I'm speaking this morning on Face Connecticut with State Controller Sean Scanlon. Could you just tell people where they could find more information on a state website or another resource that you would recommend online, just in case they want to look it up and read a little bit more and get more information before they make a decision on their own, what program to use or so on and so forth?
Yeah, so if you're looking for help preparing your taxes and you want to explore that VITA program, that's through 211. And again, you can find the information on the 211 website or on by calling 211 on your phone. But in terms of the other tax credits that I just mentioned, you know, the best place to go is to the State Department of Revenue Services. That's essentially the state's version of the IRS. Their website is, you know, www.ct.gov/DRS. And, you know, on the left side of the screen, I'm looking at it right now, you can sort of see for businesses, for individuals, for accountants. There's all sorts of different tabs there that help you. And I do this thing called comp time, where I go and shadow different state employees as the comptroller, because I'm the person who pays their salary and does their benefits, and I like to see what the folks that I work with do to earn those things. And I, not this year, but last year, sat at the DRS 1-800 call center with a very busy room, and really had an eye-opening experience, because folks that are on the other end of that line are very, very knowledgeable about taxes. And so the last thing I'd say is, don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call DRS. They've got a great help center, and folks can do that by calling 860-297-5962. And really get your questions answered by them, because they are the people that know the most about this, and they really have a lot of answers. If you want the toll-free number for what's called My Connect CT, that's the really main helpline of DRS, that number is 877-729-6691. That's 877-729-6691. Check out DRS, help them help you, and hopefully, you know, get as much savings as you can this tax season.
Those are definitely a lot of resources, and if there's a moment at the end of our discussion and program today, I'd just like to go over some of that information again, just in case anybody missed it and they want to jot that down later on. Let's move on, though, Controller Sean Scanlon, to something else that is definitely getting a lot of attention. Actually, there are two things out of Washington that are getting particularly a lot of attention: tariffs and proposed and possible federal cuts. So let's start with the tariffs, because they are set to take effect at the beginning of February, and we're there at this point in time. I know that we could talk a lot about what that means for the United States as a whole, but if we could narrow it down a little further to what that means for Connecticut, is there anything on your radar as for the impact that Connecticut residents will feel because of tariffs that are put on Mexico, Canada, or even China?
Yeah, well, listen, I think, as I said at the beginning of this interview, you know, I have a responsibility to learn as much as I can about anything that's going to impact our state and try to talk to policy holders about that, whether it's down in Washington by talking to our federal delegation or here in Connecticut. You know, tariffs are something that I think both parties agree are good tools to use when it comes to making sure that we're, you know, running sound economic policy. However, the tariffs that have been proposed are quite excessive in comparison to other tariffs that we've seen presidents using in the past. And I do worry that these excessive tariffs on two companies that we do quite a bit of trading with will have downstream effects that each and every person in Connecticut would experience, because it would become more expensive for them to buy things that are made in Mexico or, frankly, made in Canada, and the overall price that people would pay for goods and services would go up. And essentially, it's almost like it'd be a sales tax increase on the people of Connecticut. You know, sometimes I think in this particular instance, President Trump throws out big numbers and threatens folks with things like big tariffs, only to sort of use it as a negotiating position. So perhaps you know, he doesn't really intend to do tariffs that are this big. I hope that's the case. But I do worry that there will be downstream effects of this, and in places that you don't expect either. I'll give you one example, Morgan, which is that in Connecticut, we're having a big debate about electricity prices, and everyone from myself personally to my neighbors to everyone I talk to is very frustrated about the high cost of electricity. And the legislature is spending a lot of time this session trying to think about ways that they can drive down the cost of energy on a bipartisan basis. We get quite a bit of the power that we generate from hydro, which is water, that comes down from Canada through pipelines into Connecticut that Eversource then buys in order to give you electricity. It's a very wonky and complicated process, but just take my word for it. We get a lot of our power supply from both nuclear and Millstone, and then from water from Canada. A 25% tariff on top of already egregiously expensive electric prices will be felt by everybody in our state. And so whether it's on something you buy on Amazon or the price that it costs to turn on the lights, every one of those things will get more expensive with big tariffs. And I hope that the president and Congress will find a way to minimize those tariffs and still get what they're looking for without hurting the residents of Connecticut by ultra-high tariffs.
But at this point in time, we don't know exactly the dollars and cents and how it's going to look, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, that's going to take a little bit of time to understand the impact, right?
It's going to take some time. And like I said, my office monitors these things on a daily basis and reacts to them as they become more clear. But at this point, we are just seeing what we're seeing in the press. And we continue to work to get more firm answers than that. And then we'll evaluate what the impact will be on the state.
We also had the situation very recently in which there was a scare that federal funding and that certain programs would be cut or would face no more funding. Then there was confusion because there was a federal judge that put a temporary halt on it. Then the Trump administration said that it was rescinded, and they said that certain aspects weren't rescinded. So there's a lot going on, Controller Scanlon, as far as these federal funding cuts might be going. And I don't know if you have a solid answer as to what happens next, but I'm going to ask, what happens next?
Well, I don't think anybody knows what happens next. And that was a very chaotic 24-hour period of time for not just me as the comptroller, but for millions of people in our state and our country who saw that announcement late in the evening and then spent the entire next day not knowing what that meant for the program that they are a participant in or the nonprofit that they run that serves the people of our state or the police department who relies on federal grants to keep our streets and our city safe. By the end of that crazy, chaotic day, there was that court ruling, and then the next morning the memo was rescinded. I don't think that this is over. I think that there will be further attempts to do this. So I don't know what the future holds. What I do know is this, though, Morgan, that in fiscal year 2024, which is the last fiscal year that we have available data from, Connecticut spent $14.3 billion of federal money on a pass-through basis, meaning it's not part of our budget, but the money comes through a state agency, or it comes through a state agency and then goes directly to a police department or a nonprofit or a hospital or the VA. That $14.3 billion is incredibly important to our state. And taking any of it and even pausing it for any period of time would have a negative impact, from my perspective, on literally every person in our state, whether directly or indirectly, because that's the money that we use to keep our roads safe. It's the money that your kid's school gets to give them lunch or to help them pay for their teachers. It's the money your police department gets to prepare for storms and disasters. So you name it, it's a program that probably helps your life, even if you don't know it helps your life. And I'm glad that the president decided to pause but I think we need to remain looking at this very closely and having a conversation with folks, as that did prompt, about the important role that this federal money plays in people's lives each and every day here in each and every city in the state.
You had mentioned earlier, oftentimes President Trump uses negotiating tactics that might be more intimidating than what we normally see used in government. However, as you mentioned, the tariffs, hopefully to bring Mexico, Canada, China to the table and have more discussions about trade. Do you think that that situation could have possibly been this past week with the federal funding situation, a way to get Congress to wake up and have a conversation with him on his funding desires?
Maybe, and that's certainly his MO, and I know that that's something that is why people are attracted to him. It's not my thing, and the reason for that is because I think there's other ways to do it. I'm the fiscal watchdog of the state, and so I certainly sympathize and agree with him or anyone else who says, hey, we should constantly be looking at what we spend our money on, and if there's better ways to do it or there's more savings to be had, then we should do that. And I do that all the time at the state level, and I frankly think we need to do more of that. So him and I are aligned in that way. How we go about doing it, though, I think is the difference. And terrifying people and sending out unclear messaging and walking it back and then not walking it back, it just caused a lot of anxiety that seems to be pretty needless to me. almost all of this money are things that we know we're not going to take away. I don't think the president is going to cancel all the student loans in the country. I don't think he's going to cancel the children's health insurance program. I don't think he's going to cancel money to our police departments. So a blanket thing saying that we're suspending all this stuff just to look for some fraud, I don't think is the way to go about doing it. I think we can look for fraud. I think we can find efficiencies. I think we can find savings, and we should, but we don't need to do that while scaring a lot of people that frankly don't need to be scared.
I'd like to draw your attention to a comment that State Senate President Martin Looney made the other day when all of this was going down, that it is possible in the event that there is some kind of stop in federal funding, should it happen, whether it's sudden or expected, that the state budget, which we already kind of know was up in the air this year as kind of already being seen a little bit of a harder budget in 2025 and for next year, 2026 for that matter, that the budget might not be done by June 4th if we don't know how the federal funding situation is going to look, but also possibly having to declare some kind of a budget emergency. Are you following those comments, and do you have any thoughts on what he might have meant with that?
I get what the Senate president is saying, and what he's talking about, of course, is the uncertainty that we will experience coming from Washington. What I think the governor has said and what I am saying is that we don't have to have an uncertainty in our state, and we shouldn't have uncertainty in our state just because there's uncertainty in Washington. We need to give people the predictability consistency and certainty that we've been giving them in the last few years as we've turned around Connecticut's finances. It's something I think we should be deeply proud of. We've gone from being 10 years ago in a state of permanent fiscal crisis to having seven consecutive budget surpluses ending our year. We've built up a $4 billion rainy day fund for the first time in history. We've paid off almost $9 billion of our pension debt in 5 years. So we've turned around the state, and I think as a result of that, businesses and taxpayers are saying, hey, wow, things have really gotten stabilized. This is a good thing for us. I think the governor is going to propose a budget this coming week. The legislature is going to work with him to negotiate that, and I'm confident they're going to pass a budget on time, as we've done in the last couple of years. Whether that might change 6 months from now or a year from now because of something that happens in Washington, maybe none of us can predict that, but I think we have a responsibility to give people certainty and predictability, and that means passing an on-time budget. But as I just referenced, we do have a big rainy day fund for the first time ever in our state, and if we have to use it because of something that happens in Washington, we, thanks to our fiscal discipline, are prepared for that moment.
Also coming up in the next week, Governor Lamont is going to be delivering his budget address, laying out priorities that he sees for lawmakers to consider for the next biennial budget and fiscal year. There had been some talk about some tax cuts, maybe for small businesses, things along those lines. Is that still something that you think could possibly be in the playbook for this year?
Well, the governor is keeping his cards close to the vest, and I'm sure he will reveal that on Wednesday. What I would just say, though, is that as we have been able to turn around our state's finances, we have also been focusing on how to therefore make sure that other people in our state share and feel that success of that turnaround. That means that 2 years ago, the governor passed the largest income tax cut in the history of the state of Connecticut. That was given to people. So back to where we started the conversation, even if you don't feel it, for the overwhelming majority of taxpayers in the state, they are paying less in income tax than they did 2 years ago. he has tried to pass other tax cuts, like I mentioned, the earned income tax credit, boosting that property tax credit. So as we've kind of turned around the state's finances, we're doing everything we can to try pass that back to the taxpayers and make it more affordable from a tax perspective. Nobody wants to see new taxes. We want to see new taxpayers. And if we can continue to make Connecticut more affordable, it's going to be a good thing for us.
Any final thoughts as we wrap up? We're down to like the last minute. I know that there are resources people can call as they get ready to prepare their taxes, need tax assistance. Maybe you could go through those again or anything else on your mind.
Yeah, so again, that number to get information about whether you qualify for the tax prep, that's just calling 211. But if you have other questions about filing your taxes and you want to see if you're eligible for any of these tax credits that I talked about, you should call the Department of Revenue Services My Connect CT program at 877-729-6691. And again, that number is 877-729-6691. Take advantage of any and all that you can. And in this tax season, the best way to do that is just by finding out what you qualify for.
Controller Sean Scanlon, this is a lot of stuff that we'll be following, of course, in the coming weeks and months on WTIC. And I hope we can chat again. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Morgan.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.